Hello and welcome to another episode of the Parkmanship Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Ryan, and with me is my great co-host, Andrew. Oh,
yep, it's me. I'm Andrew.
Yep. Today we're going to take you on our Florida adventure from our last episode. But before we do, we have to get into a couple of segments. The first thing I wanted to point out is that the Upper Delaware Scenic and Recreational River is the winner of our listener's choice poll. So before the end of the year, we're going to go out to the Upper Delaware Scenic River and do an episode on location there. So look out for that.
We're doing it on location. That's going to be exciting.
Yep.
That's a lot of logistics I'll have to figure out.
Oh, it'll be fine.
Okay. All right. So we got our next segment coming up here. Story of the week. We got some pretty big news. Well, Ryan has a recap of where he was, and then we have some pretty big news about the national parks.
We do indeed. So anyways, last week I went to Maryland to visit some national park sites down there. The first of it, which was the Great Falls District of the Chesapeake and Ohio Canal. Great Falls is pretty much just a park with a series of waterfalls and a gorge that's right outside of Washington, D.C., which is very interesting because you wouldn't expect such geological uniqueness that close to our nation's capital, mostly because it's like a major city and thousands of people live there, tons of infrastructure, and yet you can still find wilderness right nearby. While I was there, I hiked the Billy Goat Trail, which is one of those trails with signs that point out how dangerous it is to you beforehand. Like the usual, like, people have died here signs. Love those. I thought it was a little unnecessary for this one. What made it dangerous was that there was a bunch of super slippery rocks. And then there was one section where you're pretty much just hiking up a sheet of rock. And that's pretty much where the trail name comes from, the Billy Goat, because you're hiking like a billy goat. But I just wanted to point out that Chesapeake and Ohio Canal, if you've never been, Andrew, you haven't been there, have you?
No, I was going to join you, but I had to go to the dentist, unfortunately.
Yes. But yeah, the Chesapeake and Ohio Canal, I'm finding quite the underrated park. It's my fourth time visiting. I went twice to Harper's Ferry, which the park runs through Harper's Ferry, and then one time I went nearby Antietam National Battlefield. So this is a park that runs through or nearby multiple other parks. So it's a great one to visit. And then the second one I visited while I was down in Maryland was the Clara Barton National Historic Site. And that just preserves Clara Barton's final homestead. Unfortunately, the home was closed, but I ended up touring the property and the adjacent Glen Echo Park, which is also owned by the National Park Service, but is not an actual national park site. So I forgot to tell you this when I saw you yesterday, Andrew, but Glen Echo Park, I went there, super creepy.
Why is it creepy?
I went there and almost all of it was closed and abandoned. So I like walk through, there's like a bridge you go over to walk over a creek, and then you're in the Glen Echo Park. And the first thing you see to your left is a sign for an aquarium. And then you look over and it's completely abandoned. And it had like a bunch of other like rides and stuff. All of it is abandoned. And the only reason I went in there was to get my park stamp because I need my park stamp. So I go into the building that I think has the park stamp. And it once again, it looks completely abandoned. So I go to what I think is the entrance. And it was just super creepy.
Did you get your park stamp, though?
I did. I went to another entrance, and I walked in, and sure enough, there's the ranger station there, and it says, this ranger station is closed, but the park stamps are right there, so I just reached over and stamped my book.
All right.
So that was my creepiest adventure yet, to get a park stamp.
I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And other news, national news. Follow-up from last episode's story. Chuck Sam has been confirmed as National Park Service Director. He's the first one since 2017 when Jonathan Jarvis stepped down at the end of the Obama administration. He's also the first Native American to hold the position since the agency started 105 years ago.
Yeah, pretty great news.
Yeah. So the Senate? No. Yeah, Senate voted him in. Yeah, Senate voted him in. So it's going to be great to have a director of the Park Service again. It's been a very long time.
Yep. And the Senate did that through unanimous consent. So it was very bipartisan to the point that they didn't even bother doing an actual roll call vote on it. They just all agreed to say that he was approved.
Yep. All right. Let's hop into our main discussion. Our follow-up on, well, not really our follow-up, our part two of Florida. Us leaving Homestead and heading down towards Key West.
Yep. So we're beginning back up on what is day five of our journey. Before we get into that, though, we just wanted to cover a thing or two that we missed in the previous episode. And one interesting thing that I wanted to point out about our travels is that normally when we can't decide on a place to go eat, we go and find the closest Buffalo Wild Wings.
I don't know why, but we've done it in California. We've done it in Florida. We did it in Maryland.
Yep.
Where else have we done it?
Delaware, I think.
Oh, yep. Delaware, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
I don't think we did it in Montana.
No.
I think we tried.
We pointed out that we should do it and just never ended up doing it.
Yeah. I think we discussed it, yeah.
Because they were definitely there. We passed a few.
Yeah.
Long Island. We went in Long Island once.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The one in California was weird because it was on the LA, like, downtown strip.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know why we always end up there. It's just like something that happens.
Well, they're located everywhere and it's just something we're used to.
Yeah, that's fair. Consistency is key, I guess.
Exactly. But anyways, for the first day that we were in Florida, that's where we went for our first meal.
It was not in Homestead, which is very key because Homestead sucks.
It was nearby, though.
Yeah, it was. going back to day five, if you know how to get to Key West from Miami, you have to take the Overseas Highway, US 1, which goes to the southernmost part of the United States, I believe, mile one in Key West.
It also goes all the way to Maine.
Yeah.
At the Canadian border. I actually went to the other side of US 1.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yep.
Let's talk about the highway. It's got some spectacular views down the way. But we started off from my Homestead down about breakfast time. I got hungry and I saw a Waffle House. Since I was driving the car at the time, we made a force pit Waffle House because I've never been and I really wanted to go. And it did not disappoint.
For you.
Yeah. Definitely would recommend Waffle House. But we got back in the car that same, and we were only there for an hour, not even 45 minutes.
Yes,
It was really short. But we hopped back in the car, heading towards the highway. Ryan, what was our first stop on our highway down?
Our second stop after Waffle House.
Oh.
But after Waffle House, we stopped at the National Key Deer Wildlife Refuge.
Yep.
And that is a set of land set aside in the upper and middle portion of the Florida Keys that is there to help preserve key deer, which is a small subspecies of deer that's endangered.
Yep. We did a little nice hike around there, right? Well, not really a hike. Like kind of
stroll through
the sand.
The woods? Yeah, sand. It's probably better word for it.
It was so to put it in perspective, the highway is a bunch of bridges that connect a bunch of keys together, and this was one of the keys that we stopped at. Because there's a lot of keys in going down to Key West. Can't name them all. There's too many.
There's Key Largo. I know that one.
That's the bigger one?
Yeah.
I think Siesta Key is one too.
That sounds accurate.
Yeah. Okay. Ryan, what happens every time we go to a national wildlife refuge?
Don't see much wildlife because we didn't see any key deer.
Yep. But what do I do every time?
You have to get your picture behind the sign that says, no walk. There, the area behind this sign is closed.
Yeah, it says, I think it says no trespassing behind this point.
Right. I think it says like this, the area behind the sign is closed. I think
I have the photo of it. We'll post it.
Yeah, we have to post it.
So I think, how long was the drive down? Because we went, we stopped there, Waffle House, and we drove all the way down. It was less than 3 hours, 4 hours.
I think it was less than three.
Yeah, it was a nice drive. It's one of my favorite drives we've done.
It was nice. It was surprisingly well maintained, that road.
Yeah. I mean, compared to any road in Connecticut, it's well maintained. So
yeah, but I think like the logistics behind keeping that up is pretty intense.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And we're when we arrived in Key West, we hit our first lunch spot, which was
the Waterfront Brewery.
Yes, it was. I want to point out in Key West, it's abysmal to park there.
Oh, yeah, it's just this one really small parking lot.
Yeah, and there's too many around. Would not recommend driving into downtown. They have these like scooters and golf cart things you can rent, which are pretty cool, I think.
We did not
but
do that.
It's so, no, there are a lot of people doing it. But it's so small, you don't really need to.
Yep.
So.
Nice all walking right. place.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan, what you got at brewery?
Oh, I got a flight of beers. And it was a very interesting variety, too. I got like a sour, a lager, an IPA, something else. So it was all very colorful.
I really like the sour I got. Sour is pretty great.
Yeah, I remember thinking it was okay, but I'm not a fan of sours.
I like sour stuff, so it's fine. What did we see, right? Because the brewery is located on the harbor of Key West. Yeah,
literally right on the water. So we saw a bunch of boats, and in between these boats was this massive grouper fish, which I've never seen before. And it was like something out of a fantasy story.
Yeah, this thing was had to be like 4 feet across and like 8 feet long. The thing was ginormous.
Oh, it was massive. You're not exaggerating.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I have a photo of it somewhere saved. It's great.
I tried getting a photo of it, but it didn't come out well.
Yeah, I definitely have a good photo of it. We walked around Key West for a bit because our major destination was the next day, which was Dry Tortugas. So we stopped at some pretty interesting shops, to say the least. The first one we did was a rum factory.
Yeah, Papa Pilar's distillery.
I think so. I remember we each got a bottle of rum.
Yeah, and they were giving out free shots too.
It was great. It was pretty great.
So great.
So great. And then we stopped at they have like this specialty hot shot sauce store there. So I picked up some of that for some friends that regularly frequent Key West, but didn't go in the year that I was going. So they asked me to pick up some hot sauce. Apparently it was really hot.
Interesting. I didn't try any. I probably should have.
Yeah. We walked around a little bit more. We tried to find another bar.
We did. We stopped at another bar. I got a rum and coke.
Oh, that's right. There's a lot of people in Key West. It's a big party city.
It's a fun town. It's an open carry city for alcohol.
Yeah.
So you can just walk around with whatever you're drinking throughout the town. Kind of great. But yeah, there's parties going. There's parties going around everywhere. It looks like a fun town.
I do want to point out things that Key West is famous for is they threatened to secede all the time from the continental U.S. because they don't think they're the U.S. and I find that really funny.
Really?
They do. They do it like every year and they have their own flag planned out too. Granted, Key West probably is going to be underwater in like the next 50 years, so that's really sad. So
that is.
Yeah. Also, Ernest Hemingway is lived in Key West, and you can go through the Hemingway house and see the 8-toed cats. I think it's 6-toed cats. I think they have some abnormal number of appendages of toes.
Weird and creepy. Kind of don't want to see that.
And then we checked into our hotel.
Yeah, which was the Hampton Inn Key West.
Very nice views.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't on the water, but it was if you just walked across the street, the sidewalk with the water was right there.
And if you walked behind the hotel, the airport was there.
Yeah, because they were doing military drills when we first got there.
Yeah, and there's also an airport. Like, you can fly into Key West, but it's dumb expensive.
Yeah. But yeah, the room was decent. There was an outdoor pool and a tiki bar, which we hit up that first day.
Ryan made a friend.
Oh, yeah. There was a white ibis that hung out with us at the tiki bar. It was great. I waited for years to see a white ibis, and then all of a sudden one's just hanging out with me while I'm having a mojito.
Yep. It was right there. Yeah, and then from there we slept Hampton Inn and
prepared for the next day.
Yeah, favorite part of day 5 is definitely the downtown part of Key West. It was fun to walk around. Definitely would have not enjoyed it post-COVID. This trip was pre-COVID.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, post-COVID, I'd be terrified because, like, there is way too many people.
So my favorite part of day 5 was actually the same thing, just walking around Key West. It was a fun town. And this was one of the few times that we've gone bar hopping on one of our trips.
So, yeah.
Fun experience.
A scale of 1 to 10 for a entrance sound to a park?
Oof. I don't know if I can go a full 10, so maybe a 9.5.
Okay, that's fair. Nothing's ever perfect. I'd probably give it a 9.5.
It's really good. It's like it's either that or Bar Harbor. That's the best one.
Yeah. All right. Great. Yeah. Day 6. We woke up pretty early for the ferry to Dry Tortuga, which Ryan booked.
Yeah, it's called the Yankee Freedom. It's the main ferry to go to Dry Tortugas National Park. And Dry Tortugas National Park is a 100 square mile park off the coast of the Florida Keys. It's actually so far off that it's actually probably closer to Cuba than the Florida mainland itself. But it's there to protect marine wildlife, birds, and Civil War era history. Because if you go to Garden Key, which is the most visited area and the key that we went to, it has Fort Jefferson, which is a Civil War era fort.
Correct.
So yeah, it's we took the about 2-hour ferry ride over to Dry Tortugas National Park and Garden Key. And there's nothing really to do on that 2-hour, ferry ride. The views are nice, but you better make sure you have sunscreen because if you're Irish right like me, you'll burn quite easily.
Yeah, there is actually no shade on the island. Also, the boat ride was very early, so I kind of napped, I think, for a little bit. But they do have amenities on the boat, which we'll get to later.
Yes.
But yeah, the boat ride was, 2.5 hours, something like that?
Yeah, it was over 2 hours. It's a long one.
Yeah. Another. Yeah,
once we got there, we had to get our picture with the sign.
Yep.
And then we went straight into the gift shop, which is in the fort.
I think it's in an old prison cell block.
I think you're right.
Yeah. It's just a ranger sitting there, and it's like underneath the fort, essentially. So
yep.
I bought a pretty cool poster that hangs on my wall right now. I think I picked up a couple t-shirts there for my family.
Yeah, I got a hat and shirt for myself. And then, of course, my park stamp.
Yep. We did a walkthrough tour of Fort Jefferson right after that, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, you can choose to either do it with the naturalist or the historian on board the ferry, but we chose to do it by ourselves, our own tour of it. Which, yeah, there's pretty much two loops. There's the inner loop that goes through the fore end, actually above over it, which was really cool. But only about 75% of that was open because they were doing construction when we were there. But from the top of the inner wall, you get some of the greatest views because you can just see spits of land coming out, and then you can see the truly turquoise ocean just all around. Great sight.
Yeah. Until Glacier, I don't think I've seen water that clear.
Same.
Yeah.
And then besides the inner wall, you can also do the outer wall, which is kind of like the wall that's by the moat for the fort. And only about 50% of that was walkable because most of it's destroyed or deteriorated from being right on the ocean water. But once again, that was pretty cool just because you can get up close to the coral and fish species there.
One of my favorite hikes, well, not hikes, but walks, I've done at like a historic fort was at this one. It's got this like weird pathway through the water over the crystal clear blue water, which I found really cool.
Yeah, this was on your top three trails, wasn't it?
Yep.
In the first episode, yeah.
Yep, it is.
It's a good one. I wouldn't say it's a hike, but it's a very cool walk. After we were done touring the fort, we went off to the beach.
Correct. I, swam in the water. Ryan did some snorkeling.
Which I have to say, the snorkeling was a once in a lifetime experience. It was so cool. I got to see fishes of all colors. I've never had an experience like this before. And if you do this, go towards the old boat dock structures because that's where a lot of the coral and the most colorful fish species hang out.
Yeah. They do provide snorkeling equipment. We should make that very clear.
Yeah, if you go on the Yankee Freedom, all you have to do is sign a waiver and they give you the equipment for free to borrow.
Yep. Another cool thing with this Dry Tortugas is you can camp there. Yes. I know, which is kind of crazy to think about because you're, 50 miles from shore, the near shore? So
yeah. And there's no water on the island. Fresh water.
Yeah, and you're camping on a beach. Essentially.
The night skies must be stellar out there, though.
Yeah, no light pollution.
Yep.
I also want to point out on the Yankee Freedom, there is accommodations for food and drinks on the boat. So the boat docks there until it leaves. It kind of acts as a restaurant at that point, which is really cool.
Yes. And then before we left the beach, I just wanted to point out that there was one section of the beach that was closed off for bird nesting.
There was a lot of birds.
Yeah, it was. I think they're called sooty terns, and they are so loud.
Yeah, they are.
I think I have a video of how loud they are. So I'll definitely have to post that on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. If you want to follow us there, we're on Parkmanship Podcast.
Yep. I also want to point out there is a cool like lighthouse off the shore you can't go to,
but it looks real. You can go to, but you need to have like your own boat.
Yeah. It looks really cool from a distance.
It does. We have great pictures of it.
Yeah. There's some pretty cool views inside the fort too for photos. There's a lot of like archways that span the underneath the fort and a lot of archways facing out to the water that kind of creates this like perfect picture frame of the ocean.
Yes. The archways in this fort are so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Dry Tortuga was, my highlight of the trip, but we'll get to that later.
Yep.
We got to get back to from Dry Tortuga to Key West again. The boat ride on the way back wasn't as terrible.
I thought it was pretty terrible. I was tired at that point.
Yeah, but there were snacks and stuff at that point, or you could get a beer or something.
Yeah.
So we arrived in Key West about,
Early evening, I want to say, like 4, 5 yeah. maybe.
Yeah, because you don't stay out there too late. Into the park really early, and then you leave kind of early. But we ended up back at
Waterfront Brewery. Had to try it out a second time.
Yep.
I forget what I got.
I don't remember.
I got fish and chips the first time.
I got a sour, I know, that time. And I think I got their pretzel. And the pretzel was really good. They had a gift shop, I think, towards the back.
They did. Yeah, in the back of the restaurant.
They also had, like, an arcade.
It's a weird, exciting town, Key West.
Yeah, because you walk into one building, you think you're in one thing, and then you walk through it a little bit more, and you end up in a like whole different setting.
Yep.
But we caught some pretty great sunsets in Key West.
Yep, both days, right when the sun was setting, we just walked across the street from our hotel and just watched the sunset from the block out there, right on the ocean.
I think it's in my top sunsets we've seen.
Oof. I don't know about that, but it was really nice.
I don't know. The colors from the setting on the ocean is something else.
Yeah, I'll give you that. So, Andrew, after we saw the sunset, that kind of concluded our day. So what was your favorite part of day 6?
I'm going to have to go with Drag Tortuga, the highlight of the day.
The entire thing?
Yeah, it's just like a unique park.
It definitely is.
It's something I know we won't be going back to anytime soon. So.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think we're going to go back in the next like 5 years.
Probably not, but you never know.
Yeah. It's just, you know, something I would love to do again.
Gotcha. My favorite part of day 6 was the snorkeling, just because that experience was kind of like entering a whole new world. It was so cool.
Yep.
And that unfortunately brought us to our last day.
Yeah, the drive from Key West to Miami.
Yep.
Highway was great.
I don't remember a lot about it other than we stopped at some diner.
Really, yeah, it was really bad. And we also got looks because we weren't locals. I remember that distinctively. We stopped at a local diner and we weren't locals, so they really kind of gave us looks. I remember a lot of the people were in Hawaiian shirts in that specific diner,
which is that's a type of shirt that you wear a lot though.
Yeah, well,
just not on that day.
No, yeah, if I wore one, I would have been more in place, I think.
Yep.
The drive back wasn't terrible. We did go all the way back to Biscayne.
Yep, we did one final trip back to Biscayne National Park. We did the Convoy Point Trail again.
Yep.
And then we had an interesting encounter with a heron statue.
Yeah, me and Ryan thought there was a heron statue on the dock, and I got kind of close to it, and it was definitely not a statue.
It was an actual heron.
Yep, it was a heron.
But it actually did look like a statue.
Yeah, it's like the time we came across that swan at the Ireland Zoo, and we tried to get close to it, and it charged us. So I'm very glad that this bird did not charge us.
Well, to be fair with the swan incident in Ireland, it was on the path that we had to go through, and it wasn't moving.
Yeah.
So we kind of created that encounter, but also we needed to.
Yeah. That was an interesting encounter because it was 8 a.m. But anyway, back to Florida. Did that, and then we went to the airport, brought the rental car back. I want to point out something about the rental car.
Okay.
Florida had this setup where like you went and picked your own rental car kind of thing with Hertz, I think we used, because you had
of Hertz actually do that.
Yeah. It was interesting because like the range of cars we had the choice from was like a minivan to what we took was a Subaru Crosstrek, which was really nice.
It was a good car.
Besides the weird lane assist thing, that was annoying.
Yeah.
You remember that? We were like trying to drive down
the we would like rattle anytime that happened.
Yeah. It was awful. And then we have a story about the airport. Ryan had a great experience at the airport, didn't you, Ryan?
Oh, well, first of all, we were in line with the TSA, and I couldn't quite hear what the TSA agent was saying. And so you just continued straight on and like abandoned me. So correct. I just waited for the TSA agent to go, okay, now it's your turn to go. So I went, and you know, I was waiting to find you, and it turned out that you didn't even make it through yet once I got through somehow.
Somehow the electronic thing on my phone didn't work, and the TSA was changing staff at that time, and the TSA agent, who really didn't want to wait for me to get my thing, to sent me to go get a paper ticket. Hop back in line, get to the front, and I used my actual ticket on my phone. So was very unhappy with the ticket at that point. Wasted a lot of time. Flight home was good. We flew back into JFK as usual.
Yep.
Kind of our go-to.
I had one last mojito at the airport.
Yep. So the Miami airport has this really cool like tram system.
Yes, to go from the airport to the rental car
service or the garages. It just was kind of cool.
Yep. Definitely interesting.
Yeah. Favorite part about day 7, Ryan.
Probably that time we confused a heron for a statue. Just a fun experience that it's funny to look back on.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that one. That's just like something, you know, we probably should have assumed it was a real bird because it'd be really weird if it was a statue in the middle of the dock.
I mean, you never know.
That's fair. It is Florida.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew, was there anything that you would have done differently about this entire trip? Anything at all?
Camped in Dry Tortuga.
Okay. Mine's kind of similar. I would have preferred, or if I knew how this was going to go, I probably would have done a second night at the Flamingo campground, because that was actually a really nice campground. And instead of that second or third day where we attempted to go stay at that RV campground and decided not to and just went to a hotel, I think just going to the staying a second night at the Flamingo campground, which would have been a much better strategy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know. I feel like the RV site gave us creepy vibes because there was just a man in front of a broken RV sitting out there waiting.
Yep. Also definitely for RVs.
Yeah. All right, Ryan. We got to get into what we forgot last episode.
Yeah. Andrew, you know what time it is?
I don't.
It is the Fry Review of the Week. So, Andrew, how would you rate the hole in the wall for fries?
Fries were very good. To be honest, I don't remember anything special.
Okay.
I think they were like 3 out of 5.
Okay.
They're good.
Now, for this episode, how would you rate the Waterfront Brewery's fries?
Very good. I mean, I think the view made up for that because we sat right on the water.
Oh, it definitely did.
Yeah, definitely influenced my decision here of a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
All right, Ryan, it is Unigrid of the Week time. Well, doubleheader, but you know.
Yep.
Ryan, how is the Everglades Unigrid?
So, yeah, for the Everglades Unigrid, it definitely has a lot of geological and environmental information that you will see elsewhere in the park. It's, you know, it's on most of the trailheads that you go to throughout the park. It also has info about the major sections of the park, and it has a nice painting of some of the animals that can be found in the park, but it's a little light on like recreational opportunities that you can experience in the park. So all in all, I would give it 3 out of 5 arrowheads.
Okay. And then for Dry Tortugas.
So this one was a disappointment because Dry Tortugas is a great national park, but the Unigrid is just has some information about wildlife. The only map it has is a boater's map, so it looks really weird.
Yeah, it does.
And then in total, it's small and light on information. So unfortunately, this is a 1 out of 5 arrowheads for me.
That's unfortunate because Dry Tortugas is great.
It is.
So, Ryan, the real question is, top 3 favorite Southern Florida National Park sites?
So, yeah, we went to 4 Southern Florida park sites on this trip, so I'm pretty much just dropping one. But number 3 for me was Biscayne National Park. I thought this was a great intro into the Southern Florida area. You know, there's just wildlife right on Miami's doorstep here. You got to see a lot of wildlife, you know, lizards, the great heron, obviously, crabs. Number 2, Dry Tortugas. This is just a fantastic park. Florida really does have 2 really great national parks. It's unique. And then, of course, the snorkeling was an all-time experience for me. But number 1 has to go to Everglades National Park. You know, it's an American safari, just wildlife all over the place, wildlife of all sorts and shapes and of sizes. And then we just had a great experience at the Flamingo Campground. So that's number 1 for me. How about you, Andrew?
I got to go with the same. I'm going to go, Biscayne's number 3 for me. Then Everglades is number 2. Biscayne's number 3 is because most of the park we didn't really see because we saw, like, you know, just the tip of the iceberg, literally.
Yeah, we just did the Convoy Point Trail.
Yeah, because most of it's underwater. Everglades is number 3 for me because we did a lot of it, but I think there we could have saw there or saw. Sure. Number 1 is Dry Tortuga because it just the views of the ocean made the trip all worth it for me.
Nice picks.
Yeah.
So fortunately, that brings us to the end of the episode.
Once again, I'm Andrew.
I'm Ryan.
And this was Parkmanship.